And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the full net of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. This is the last Sunday in June, and so we're bringing this series of lessons for this early time period to a close today. We have been looking in the month of June at miracles that are recorded in the Gospel of John that are not found in the other three Gospels. So this is the final miracle recorded by John, and it's also the final miracle recorded by John that's not found in any other of the Gospels. It's a very unique miracle. First of all, it occurs after the resurrection. In fact, it occurs after the text that we've read a couple times in this series, John 20, 30, and 31, where John says, therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So it brings up that interesting question. John had summarized the content of the first 20 chapters of saying, I've given you these signs so that you can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And then comes this miracle, post-resurrection. So does that mean that this sign is not a part of the signs that John recorded to demonstrate the deity of Jesus? Or could it be that this was an afterthought? John, oh, I need one more miracle before I close the book. Or could it be that this miracle is recorded by John in his epilogue in chapter 21, for an entirely different purpose than all the other miracles that are contained in the Gospel of John? And I think that's the answer to the question. This is not a miracle of belief. No one sees this miracle except Jesus' closest disciples. And so it causes you to think that the purpose of this miracle was for them, not to create belief in the general population. The other unique thing about this miracle is that it is a duplication of a miracle that Jesus performed earlier in his ministry. This miracle in John 21, none of the other Gospels records. But in fact, I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 11, and notice how similar these two things are. When he had finished speaking, and that's after Jesus had spoke one of his earliest of sermons, he says to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. If we read the pre-story to this, there is such a crowd that Jesus borrows Simon Peter's boat and gets a little bit offshore and speaks to the crowd. And when he's all done, he tells Simon, you go out here and let's get a catch. And so Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat, that would have been James and John, for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had, who were partners with Simon. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear. From now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. And so what I want to suggest to you is that I believe the significance of the miracle in John 21, which is recorded only in John 21, is found in this miracle recorded by Luke that occurred at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. And this miracle here in our text happens at the actually after the ministry is over, prior to Jesus ascending into heaven. Notice some of the details of this miracle. It tells us that some of Jesus' disciples were together near the Sea of Galilee. Not even the entire 11 left over after Judas has committed suicide are here. It names some and then it says a few others. And if I counted right, I think it's 8 of the 11 are accounted for here. Peter suggests to his friends that they go fishing. And that would be natural because 4 of them had been partners in the fishing business on the Sea of Galilee before they became Jesus' disciples. And while they are fishing, Jesus appears to them on the seashore and instructs them to let down their nets. So in Luke's miracle, the professional fishermen had fished all night, not caught anything. And now the same group of people, essentially, have again fished all night and not caught anything. And the result now is a great catch. And it was as this is happening that John recognizes that it is Jesus. And he says, that's Jesus on the shore. And we see some of the impulsiveness that we come to recognize in Peter. He grabs his robe and just jumps overboard, swims to shore. And the rest come in the boat loaded with fish. And when they all get to shore, Jesus has prepared a meal for them. They didn't even need the fish they caught. He already had provided fish and was cooking breakfast for them. Now, a couple things that aren't directly related to what I'm going to talk about in the time that we have here. John does record that this is the third time that Jesus was manifested to them after he'd been raised from the dead. So we know there's about a 40-day period, between the resurrection and when he ascends. And some people have the impression that he spent all of that time with them, but that's not what the record says. We know that he appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he appeared to the disciples, and appeared to the disciples again, the apostles again, and went a week later with Thomas. So he appeared to different people, but to this group, this is the third time. The first resurrection Sunday, then a week later with Thomas, then now this. And so he didn't continually be with them all during this time. And then, we don't have time to read it, but after that, in the rest of the 21st chapter, John records Jesus talking with primarily Peter and John. The rest of the apostles that were there heard those conversations about what was yet to take place. Since I brought up the first miracle, I think it's important to look and say, what's the difference between... Put an extra letter in there, didn't I? Okay. Heavy fingers. The bottom line is the difference between this miracle and the one that was recorded in Luke. First of all, is the time. This is not, critics of the Bible would say that John got this out of place. And the answer is no. Luke's miracle takes place before the public ministry is in full swing. It's at the very beginning of the public ministry, because as you noticed in that reading, the invitation to Peter, Andrew, James, and John to come and I will make you fishers of men occurs after that first miracle. The first occurred after Jesus had addressed a large group of people on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. The miracle in John, there is no public there. It is just Jesus and approximately 8 of the apostles, not even all 11 of the apostles. The miracle in John, or in Luke, excuse me, results in the disciples recognizing Jesus as Lord. It's expressed in the words of Peter, but we believe you can include that first group of 4 apostles together here, where Peter says in Luke 5:8, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And the first miracle results in Peter, James, and John being called as the first apostles or disciples. "Do not fear," Luke 5:10, "from now on you will be catching men." And it records their acceptance of that call. Luke 5:11, when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. And so clearly that first miracle with the draught of fishes was performed in the presence of a large multitude, with the result that these first 4 apostles were called into their apostleship, into their discipleship. So that brings us to the question here. Well, what's the significance of this second draught of fish? This miracle that looks so much like one of the first public miracles that Jesus did. One of the interesting things about this is, of course, that John is both the recorder of this miracle and he is a participant in both occurrences. John was there for both of these occurrences. And so here's what I believe the significance is, and I've talked about this before in other places and other studies and in other passages, is in Hebrew literature there is a device that is used called bookending, or some scholars call it bracketing. Very common in the Psalms, some places in the Proverbs, very common even in the prophets, where they begin a discussion with a statement, then there is information, and then the statement that began the passage ends the passage. And what that does is says that everything in between these two statements pertains to what the statement was. And for instance, in the book of Proverbs, you will find that there's a lot that is bracketed between two statements, where Solomon says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And there's a lot of in there. And so what I really think, have come to the conclusion on this when looking at this miracle, is that that's why it's where it's at the very end of the ministry of Jesus as he prepares to ascend into heaven with his apostles. It bookends their ministry, at least with him. It happened at the beginning to convince them that he was not just some other itinerant teacher. And it happens at the end of his time with them as he prepares to ascend into heaven. And when you stop and think about it, what would be the purpose of that? Well, you know the story from all the Gospels of the night that Jesus was betrayed, going through the time of his crucifixion, and even the response of the apostles in general to the resurrection, that they had to be convinced that he had been raised from the dead. We've not experienced anything like that, but wouldn't you agree with me that the combined psyche of these apostles couldn't have been in too good a shape at this point? When Jesus needed them most, the best of them ran away. One of their leaders denied him. One of their number had betrayed him and committed suicide. And the general attitude of all of the disciples, not just the apostles, was that they were confused about what had happened because they were expecting Jesus to do something else, and here he'd been crucified. And even when the report was brought to them that he was raised from the dead, they struggled. And I do think it's very significant that two of the disciples mentioned by name in the text in John 21 are Peter and Thomas, because of what we know about their particular reactions to the resurrection, to what occurred prior to that. I believe the whole purpose of this miracle by John and the recording of it is to establish the point that, yes, through the ministry of Jesus, he has been there from the beginning to the end, and that their call as being his apostles was not over. It was still in force. The very same Jesus who had called them from the Sea of Galilee to begin their ministry was here at the Sea of Galilee with them again, performed the exact same miracle to affirm to them that his call was still there, that they still had work to do. And in fact, while I said we couldn't read what's after here, we can go to John 21, verses 18 and 19. And see that after he performs this miracle and after he has his fellowship with his disciples, he says this to Peter in John 21, verses 18 and 19. "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Listen to what John says about that. "Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to them, to him, 'Follow me. You're still my apostle.' Furthermore, in that text, Jesus affirms that each of their discipleships would be unique, that they were not to be concerned about what Jesus required of others. They were just, as a group, individually, to be committed to following him. In John 21 and verse 21, it says, Peter, seeing him, and he's referring to the one who's writing John, it's identified as the one who leaned upon Jesus' breast at the Last Supper, the one that Jesus had a special relationship with. It says, Peter saw him and said, 'Lord, what about that man?' And Jesus said to him, 'If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me.'" So he's basically telling this whole group of about eight of the apostles that their work's not over, it's just beginning. and that they are to follow him. It affirms the apostolic mission of these disciples who had accompanied Jesus during the earthly ministry. However, I do think there's one very practical application in this that we can make to ourselves that could be very valuable in our life, not as apostles, but as simple disciples. We need to learn from what he told Peter. You don't be concerned about John, Peter. You just follow me. We should not be committed to our own personal discipleship of Jesus. And it really doesn't depend upon what anyone else is doing, or whatever plans God might have for some other of our brothers or sisters. Peter's job was to be the disciple he was called to be. And that's what our job is. Be the disciple that God called me to be. I believe, Tim, do you have the prayer? Tim will lead us in prayer, and then we will be dismissed to our Bible classes.